if you would introduce yourself and talk about the work that you do.
My name is Dana Assassin. I am originally from Palestine. I am a current PhD student in epidemiology at the University of South Carolina, and I'm also a member of a student organization called Students for Justice in Palestine. Although we are located at University of South Carolina, we still do a lot of work within the Columbia community as a whole. And most of our work focuses on raising awareness on the ongoing illegal military occupation of Palestine. So whenever we talk about the occupation of Palestine, what's happening in Palestine is not happening just in isolation. Systems of oppression work together, exchanging weapons, et cetera, et cetera. So that brings me, so basically, long story short, that brings me to why I, as a Palestinian, support the prison strike. Because the same mistreatment and discrimination that Palestinians experience in prisons is the same thing that's happening to prisoners here. And the same companies that use to monitor surveillance, the same technology companies that are used to monitor the prisons in occupied Palestine are the same ones that are used here. So, for example, G4S is a huge British security company, and they put in cameras up in the apartheid wall in the West Bank, as well as in prisons, and they also operate here in the prison industrial complex in the U.S.
The similarities between the prison industrial complex in the United States, that's, you know, the focus of this strike, as well as Israel and Palestine, the occupation that's happening. I think these are two issues that are difficult for people to get information about. And so however you can fill our listeners in is great. And, you know, eventually I'd love for you to help, you know, direct folks to other additional places where they can find out information. Can you talk about the efforts that are currently going on in relation to your work?
Yeah, sure. So I guess maybe a little going on to the first question, just expanding a little bit. One, as you mentioned, for people to get information about Palestine is really hard, especially just how construed our media is. And the fact is that we are in one of the very few countries that is extremely pro-Israeli. And so our media just keeps pushing that same message that, oh, Israel is defending itself. Israel is, oh, it's a safe haven for Jewish people. But the media doesn't actually tell you that Israel illegally occupies the Palestinian territories. And when we say occupation, we're actually referring to an international status. So what that means is that we have laws that dictate an occupation, and we have laws that dictate when an occupation is legal and when it is illegal. So based on the Fourth Geneva Convention and many other different international laws, I'm not an expert in it, but we see that this is an occupation and it is illegal, and that there is international consensus that this is an illegal occupation. The UN Security Council, the UN General Assembly, many other international bodies recognize that this is an illegal occupation, including the KNESSET, K-N-E-S-S-E-T, which is the Israeli Supreme Court, as well as the U.S. and the State Department. So one of the first things I always like to tell people is that what's happening on the ground in Palestine, it is known. Everyone knows the atrocities, the atrocious apartheid conditions that Palestinians endure on a daily basis, whether it is an Israeli jail or just being under Israeli occupation, Israeli colonization. So maybe to give people more sources of where to go, I would direct them to IMEU, the Institute of Middle Eastern Understanding, or maybe the Electronic Intifada, I-N-T-I-F-A-D-A, is another good source to learn more about what's happening in Palestine. Those are just the two that I'm thinking off the top of my head. To talk a little bit more about our efforts. So we, as Students for Justice in Palestine, are working with a lot of different groups around the prison strike. And so first and foremost, really what we want to do is to make sure that we are uplifting the prisoners' voices, and whatever certain demands and certain things that they want to get out on the outside, we make sure to be their voice on the outside, and the fact that their voices are still centered. So there's that 10 list of the National Prison Strike demands, but also prisoners in South Carolina have their own list of demands. And so we are getting that out to the public and just educating people. And we're doing that through various ways. We do a lot of outreach work. We'll go out to the community. We'll share a lot of our literature. A lot of it is the literature that comes from PSL, the Party for Socialism and Liberation. We previously hosted the rally at Lee Correctional Institution where we had over 30 people come attend it. So that was pretty awesome. And we have another rally coming up on August 25th. We're going to be at Lee Correctional Institution. And then the other thing that I would say is, like, that's really important is that a lot of the efforts that we're doing is we're working with a lot of different groups and we're not just in isolation. So we've, I guess, informally put together a network that we've called ourselves the South Carolina Prisoners Support Network. And that is made up of different groups, including the South Carolina Freedom Movement, who are the voices of the prisoners in South Carolina. It also includes I Am We Advocacy something. Can't remember their actual name, but that's most of it. Millions for Prisoners for March, the Malcolm X Center in Greenville, Party for Socialism Liberation, and then us, Students for Justice in Palestine. I think that's most of the groups that are involved in the South Carolina Prisoner Support Network, and really the goal of the network was to make sure to connect all people in the state that are doing work around the prison strike, to consolidate our efforts and to support each other in whatever specific needs that we have.
That's great. If people want to support your work, how would you recommend they do that?
Definitely. Let me think. So I guess one of our efforts that I didn't mention is our letter writing campaign. We're asking people to write letters to Governor McMaster to explain to him that you support the prison strike and urge him to meet the demands of the prisoners. And so something that we've done is during our outreach is ask people to, you know, write these letters or sign them. And we actually plan to hand deliver them in person on Tuesday, on August 21st, the day that the strike begins, at the governor's mansion. There will be a press conference there that is hosted by the South Carolina Freedom Movement. So one of the ways that I will tell people to help us in our efforts is, one, to write a letter to Governor McMaster as well as your legislator and telling them why you should meet the prisoners' demands. And when you're reading the 10 demands of the prisoners, it's nothing, for lack of better words, it's nothing crazy. The demands are basically just reminding people that prisoners are human beings and they deserve to be treated with humanity and they just want basic rights. And that's the least that they deserve. They deserve a lot more than what those 10 demands even cover. So that's one. So writing the letter and showing up to our press conference and our rally to help people, I think can really help support our efforts around the prison strike. Perhaps even writing a letter to a prisoner or someone that you know, I think is also really important to keep the spirits of those who are incarcerated, keep their spirits high. And there are certain guidelines in writing letters to prisoners that are important. And there's a lot of websites online that people can just look up to find those. I'm also happy to, like, summarize them right now if you feel that's necessary.
Sure, that would be awesome.
Sure, yeah. So one of the things is on the letter itself, write your name, your address, as well as the person, the inmate's name and address, because a lot of times those who are incarcerated don't receive the actual envelope. And so it's important to include that, as well as using page numbers. And, you know, telling telling the person a little bit about yourself, who you are, as well as being honest about your commitment, if it's just like a one-letter time thing or if you're actually looking for a pen pal. And then don't use any stickers or like things like that. A lot of times, you know, just write on paper in pencil, keep it simple. A lot of times if you use stickers or something, sometimes the person might not ever receive it because it's, I don't know the actual terminology for it, but it'll be confiscated.
Okay, great. That's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I guess, lastly, I guess I want to return to the work that you do, focusing on Palestine, and just ask if you can share with our listeners some themes or commonalities that you see between what the demands and needs of the Palestinian people and the demands that are coming from the prisons. You mentioned that the situations that people are living in are quite similar, but can you talk about the messages that you're hearing from both?
Yeah, so Palestinians, especially those in the West Bank, discrimination is not even, it's too light of a word to describe the situation. And Palestinians are racially incarcerated as well as Palestinian children. So in many ways, the mass incarceration of Palestinians is similar to that of Black and Brown lives here in the U.S. And I would say that in general, incarcerating Palestinians as well as incarcerating Black and Brown lives in the U.S. is a weapon that is used by Israel and the U.S. In order to further marginalize us. And so those are a lot of the ways. It's not your actual question, but I would say like these weapons are attempt as a tactic to marginalize us and to stop us from being free. But I would just say that it doesn't work and it will not work, because no matter what, whether they're Palestinians in prisons or Black and Brown lives here and other in prisons and other people, folks in prisons, our spirits will never be broken, and that we will continue to fight until we abolish prison. That's really what we're looking for. We are not a free society when we do have prisons. And so for current Palestinians, like for example, right now, there is a Palestinian parliamentarian and advocate. Her name is Khalida Jarrad. Khalida Jarrad is spelled K-H-A-L-I-D-A. Her last name, Jarrad, J-A-R-R-A-R. Khalida is a very effective grassroots organizer who is currently jailed under administrative detention. Administrative detention is a very common practice that Israel uses to hold Palestinians in jail without charge or trial, which, of course, is illegal. And that similar practice is also used a lot here in the U.S. where, you know, maybe some people might be, Black and Brown lives might be jailed for a very, like, petty crime, whereas someone else might, someone who does a much graver crime spends a lot less time. That's kind of where I would draw the parallel. But anyways, back to Khalida. So Khalida has actually gone through a lot. She's, again, now under in Israeli jail. She's been there for over a year. This is maybe, I don't even know which times she's been arrested. Definitely over three times. A lot of times Palestinians are arrested over 10 times. And just thinking of her and the work that she does a lot of work around Palestinian feminism, because she talks about, like, she emphasizes how the Palestinian struggle is non-existent without the role of women, and that Palestinian women play such a huge role in the struggle. And to me, she is someone that I look up to as a Palestinian. And just because of the great work that she's done on the ground, and that she's seriously an effective grassroots organizer, that's why she was targeted. And so in many ways, when I just think of Khalida's story, among many other Palestinian women's stories and Palestinian children, as well as Palestinian men, it reminds me of the stories of people here in the U.S. who are imprisoned for these petty crimes or for very similar things.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that. Is there anything else in closing that you want our listeners to know?
Well, one, did I answer your question before?
Absolutely. Like, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, good. I guess the last thing I would really want to emphasize is that, so we're looking here at the national prison strike, where the conditions are in prisons, not just in South Carolina, but all across the U.S., are absolutely inhumane, and that prisoners and those who are incarcerated deserve to be treated with humanity. They are human beings. They deserve to have, you know, nutritional food and access to education and access to a trial, whatever the correct language is. I can't think of it right now. You know, thank God I'm not a lawyer, you know. But, like, I want to emphasize that these demands are basic, and that when we talk about the national strike and overall the prison industrial complex, that it is tied to the larger, you know, racialized systemic system that we live in. That's not correct wording, but just to know that the prison industrial complex works with many other mass corporations in our U.S. capitalistic system and is not alone. It is just one other way that Black and Brown lives are discriminated against in the U.S.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate this, and I appreciate you taking the time.